welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, December 8th, 2012. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we are live. As many of you know, December 3rd was World AIDS Day, and that was last Saturday. And on that day, a great deal of attention is focused on the very sobering issue of that is a daily ordeal for millions. On World AIDS Day, you hear about the many various large organizations and their efforts towards education and eradication. However, there are even greater stories that go quietly into the good night. And today, we're going to bring one to light. The Timbaletu Beater campaign is where our radar is focused. The Timbaletu Beaters are 45 rural women of South Africa who create ornate traditional bead jewelry to be sold as a means of economic independence by women who have AIDS. Now, this is a story of women's advocacy, global health reform, and the fight against AIDS. With us today is an even more remarkable woman, Thuli Dumakude, a native of South Africa. Ms. Dumakude is the recipient of numerous awards and honors, the Sir Lawrence Olivier Award, an Obie Odelko Award, and FNB Vita Award. Many of you know her as Rafiki in The Lion King on Broadway. She has many theater credits to her resume. She was also the featured soloist in the movies Cry Freedom, Power of One, and Serengeti. She has toured the world doing concerts and shows about the plight of apartheid on her fellow South Africans. Ms. Dumakude joins us today as a spokesperson and one of the collaborators of the Timbaletu Beater campaign. However, she has an arsenal of people who do not think it robbery to dedicate their time, talent to this very important issue and have concentrated their efforts and resources to bring awareness to the public. Some of the other collaborators working on this campaign are Dionne Warwick, Sandy Bass, Pat Cleveland, Mike Ruiz, and Nigel Barker. Please, please allow me the opportunity and pleasure to bring to you Ms. Thuli Dumakude. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. Yes.
Yes. I would like our listeners to learn more about you before we discuss the campaign.
Okay.
You're an actress, a singer, a choreographer, and a vocal coach. How did your career begin?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I always say it was by the grace of God, because in South Africa, back in the day when we were younger, we were under the system of apartheid, and we could not pursue our dreams in the arts because we did not have any institutions that allowed black people to come and study the arts. But, you know, when one is born with talent, and that's why I'm saying it's by the grace of God, you just pursue what God has given you, and you try to do the best you can. Luckily, in the townships where we lived, we always had mentors. We always had grown people who were into the singing, into the choirs, and I was invited to participate, and I got the discipline of being a performer out of those invitations. We used to call it, you know, your backdoor theater, because mm-hmm. you literally have to do it at the backyard of somebody else, and that is how I got my my diploma.
Oh, great. I mean, sometimes those kinds of training grounds and lessons are even better than the ones you get in the educational institutions.
Oh, absolutely. I fully agree with you. I mean, I cannot even compare because I never got a chance to. But I remember when we were in exile in America, and it always bothered me that when we were auditioning or I was, I was invited to do a role, I couldn't produce anything that was hanging on the wall like a diploma or anything like that. So I thought, well, maybe it's time I go back to school just to get that paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady that was interviewing me said, but you've won all these awards. Why are you reversing the system? You know, what you do first is to learn, and then you get on stage and you receive the awards. You've jumped everything. You've received the awards. If you want to go to school, I won't stop you, but it just would make any difference. And that's when I said, well, I guess my schooling in the backyard is still good enough for anybody to take me seriously.
Yeah, indeed, and it's obviously, it has proved itself obviously.
Yes.
Now, you've done movies, theater, and you are a singer. However, you also hold the credits as choreographer, vocal coach, and educator. And
yes.
When I say educator, I understand that you were invited to New York City Department of Education to educate the students about the role of Africa, their role of Africa in the world through music and dance. How was that experience for you?
Oh, my goodness. I was doing an off-Broadway one-woman production, which I created. And a young lady walked in just, I guess, you know, when people are looking for something different that is not your typical musical on Broadway. So they came to see my show. And after the show, we sat and spoke, and she said, you know, your piece, I see it touring schools because not only is it entertaining, it is very educational. You learn things about Africa that you did not expect to learn. And I had never done schools before, so I didn't even know how that system works. And I said, oh, well, yeah, here's my number. We can talk about it. I'll be happy to do it. Now I'm doing high schools in New York City. And the first school was fine, you know. And one thing I learned was when you feed young people something they don't like, they won't pay attention. So I really had to listen to what it is that they wanted to know. I wanted to listen to what it is that they made them want to be a part of what I was doing. And I think it took about 3 performances before I really got the hang of it. And after that, I did this for 18 months.
Wow.
And after that, it was just a breeze. I really look forward to being surrounded by these young people and all the questions they were asking, some very intelligent, some very crazy, some very challenging. And it was the ones that were challenging for me because it gave me an opportunity to explain even more what Africa is about.
That is excellent, because I have to tell you that one thing that, and I came through the public school system in New York City, and one thing I found was there really wasn't a concentration on geography, and we really did not know that much about Africa other than the basics. And I found that unfortunate.
And it truly is, because you know, you just want to make an assumption as someone who's coming to this country. America is known as a country of intelligent people, of success, mm-hmm. of love, of compassion. That is how we know the United States. And when you come in and you have to sort of, you know, maneuver around and see who knows what you're talking about, then you say, oh, wait a minute now. I think I have to reverse my thinking and be a part of a teaching process for people to know. I mean, those that were in politics knew exactly, but your general public that was just living their daily lives with all the challenges in front of them did not know much. But the good thing about this, because I used to tell the kids, you know, when you go home, do just have a conversation with your mom, with your sister, your dad, and tell them about what you thought about Africa, and see if you could challenge them in the knowledge of knowing anything about Africa. So, and you know, I would get amazing letters from the kids, amazing letters, and I said, well, it was worth doing it.
Oh, that is excellent. Now, as a choreographer, what have you done that we may know about?
Maybe if you're familiar with Dance Africa at the Brooklyn Academy, that is where we sort of dominated well, back in the day.
Okay.
And of course, I was invited to do some pieces here and there on South African, particularly South African dance movements. Chicago, LA, you know, whenever they wanted to do something South African, they would invite me to come and create a piece on that.
Oh, great, because I did go see Dance Africa every year that I could go.
Oh, okay.
And I loved it.
Oh, my God, yes, yeah. It was just a combination of the most exciting time because, you know, even though one born and bred in Africa, you don't know the whole of Africa because it is a huge continent. I learned more about West African dance movements through BAM, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not like just because I came from Africa, I would know how to do your Nigerian kind of dance or your any West African or East African for that matter. I got my education when I got to this country through Dance Africa.
Really? And for those of my listeners who are not from the New York City area, BAM is the Brooklyn Academy of Music. So, amazing. I mean, I would go and I would just sit there mesmerized, just watching all the different routines and the performance pieces. Oh, I loved it. I would take my daughter with me, and she danced with Alvin Ailey. So, yes, it was really a good experience and exposure for her as well. And we both enjoyed ourselves immensely.
Yeah, great.
Now, how did you come to learn about the Timbaletu Beaters?
Well, I was in The Lion King. This is in 1998. And I was invited by Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, to make a speech to the audience. We were in the 6 weeks of raising funds for HIV and AIDS. And so as Rafiki, you know, I stepped forward and then I got the audience to listen to what I was saying, pleading with them, donate $1, $5, whatever you can afford because we're raising funds for this and that. And while I was in the midst of doing this, it just came to my mind. I said, well, you know what, if we sell ornaments, beadwork from South Africa, we might raise even more money because it's all about raising more money. And so, you know, I went to Disney and I said, I have an idea. They said, no, go to Broadway Cares. I went to Broadway Cares and they said, we love your idea. The sooner the better. So I went back home and then I looked for a rural community where women, because mainly women in South Africa do beadwork, women can do the beadwork. I was not really thinking about a long-term relationship. I was not thinking too much about who is infected or affected by AIDS. I was just thinking about the project that we were doing. And then I found myself in the company of the most incredible women. It's a very long story, but I'll cut it very short. Before I could even work with them, after I had identified this village, I was told that I need to get permission. The chief told me that I need to get permission from the husbands for the wives to work. Mm. And, of course, I met with the husbands, and they gave me like 2 days that they were thinking about it. But finally they came back and said, okay, we're giving our wives permission to do this work because now this is like commercial work. This is where they're going to get paid for what they do. And that is how it all started. Now I'm surrounded by the ladies. We did not have a name or anything. And I said, what would you want to call yourselves? And they said, we would like to use, they came up with a lot of other names, but eventually they said, we like Timbaletu. And I said, okay. And the reason for this is why? They said, well, you know that Timbaletu means our hope in English. Our hope is based on the bead work that we do. Our hope is based on the kindness of people who are going to love the work that we do and buy it and so that we can feed our children. So it really moved from sourcing out people who are good at what they do to something that becomes emotional for them and for myself. And that is how Timbalito started.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And the name itself, Our Hope, that is just, I'm kind of speechless to know the meaning of the name. And
yeah.
Tell us about the Beaters. Who are these Beaters?
They are a group of amazing women. Now, in rural South Africa, it is total abject poverty. There is absolutely nothing, no running water. The water they get from the river, which is, of course, contaminated, polluted, and they live in mud houses. There's not like your proper construction of, there's no electricity, no tar, roads or anything like that. I mean, it's just dust everywhere you go. And when I first saw them, I had like tears in my eyes. And one of the women said, please don't feel sorry for us. We are excited that you're here. We feel good that we're going to be working for you. I said, no, it's not for me. You are working for these wonderful people overseas. But it was more about we are excited that we're here together as women. It's not like they are rich people, they are poor people. We are just talented people gathered together to start doing what we are looking forward to doing. And immediately I wiped my tears and I said, okay, let's talk about how this thing is going to work. And I broke it down for them. We had to identify the project manager, someone who, and I had to get them a cell phone so they could communicate with, because nobody has, your typical landline phone.
Okay.
There's absolutely nothing, you know.
Oh,
and
my.
So once I identified this young lady who was the project manager, I knew that even when I'm not there, there is someone who is making sure that the merchandise is delivered on time so that, because it's two different worlds. You know, timeline when you talk about rural South Africa does not exist. In the meantime, I'm in New York and I'm dealing with the fundraising drive, which is only 6 weeks, and we need things to be here on time. And that's how we grew out of this. And the more they did it, the more they understood that they are precious to finish the product at a certain time.
Wow. Now,
yeah,
that is just, and are these women are affected by AIDS or infected with AIDS themselves?
Yes. The challenge, well, and the interesting thing is when we started, I did not mean for this to be a discussion about AIDS. It was really women doing beadwork. But we were doing AIDS ribbons as part of the order. And out of the blue, I just said to them, do you know what this ribbon stands for? And there was a little bit of hush-hush, so I knew, because nobody wanted to talk about this, even to this day in South Africa. People are very mum about it. But they told me that they understood what the ribbon was standing for. And I said, well, actually, this is a good way for us to begin to talk about facing this monster and talk about it. Is there anyone here who wants to start the conversation? And nobody wanted to do that. But as time went on, because, you know, when you do beadwork and you're creating a pattern, you cannot talk and do that at the same time. You focus on the colors that you're putting together in order to come up with a beautiful-looking pattern. And while they do that in their quiet moment, I would go to them and say, what are you thinking about right now? And each one had their own story to tell. And that's how I knew that we were all going through this challenge, and I wanted to be a part of the journey with them. And out of that, I spoke to one of the doctors that I knew, and I said, you need to visit this little village and find out, because I don't want to start something that I cannot finish. In other words, when they come out and say, I am positive, what do I do about that? Because there's no hospital around, there's no clinic around. I needed to make sure that there is someone who was in the medical profession who would then take it to the next level, and that is how we started to do it.
Oh, my goodness. That is just amazing. Now,
yeah,
it really is, because the fact that you took the time to just think about their needs was important, because although you wanted to help do this and you had no long-term plan, you were very thoughtful in regards to your approach, which is excellent. And a lot of people don't think that far in advance. They just go for what they see and that's it. And that is just excellent. Now, how did the formation of your campaign come about?
Wow. It took almost like 15 minutes when I met with Camille.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was either 2 years or a year and a half ago. We met at this beautiful restaurant. I had known Camille way before when we were doing Dance Africa. She was much, much younger. And, you know, and then, of course, we went about our things that we were doing in life, and how somehow fate has put us back together again. And she had been communicating with my son back in South Africa. And the issue of beadwork had come up several times, but I was so focused in other things that I was not really in that communication that they were having. Finally, when I came here for another project, we met and we started to talk about it. And she then said, you know, she called me Ma. You know what I'm going to do, Ma? I just want to think through this whole process. I love the story. I love what you're doing. I just want to see what can I do to take this to the next level. And she went straight to work, hard, hard work, identifying the right models and talking to the right people who are going to help out to at least to get the first photo shoot to happen. Unfortunately, I was in South Africa at the time, and I couldn't make it here because, you know, you need the extra funding for that, and I was not in a position to take a little bit from the ladies and then buy the ticket and come over here. So it was a long story. But that is how she pulled it off the ground.
Okay.
And I said to her, okay, now that we have this, we can put it on our site, and we have the support of all these legendary women who are so committed to what we are all doing. We're looking because now it's not just the HIV and AIDS, it's just the women abuse, it is child abuse, because all these things come together, and at the end the end result of this is what we're looking to rectify, or to help out financially, or to be a part of in order to create, to solve the problem, you know. And I was very excited when I saw the pictures. Actually, I was very emotional that I could not be here physically to participate. But she did pull it off.
Okay. Now, in the pictures, for those, they're on the, like, my listeners, if they're listening via computer, they'll see pictures come up. There are two pictures. They're pictures of the photo shoot, and they're pictures of you wearing this amazing, stunning hat. Is that one of the hats the beaders have made?
Yes.
Oh, my. That hat is stunning. Oh, my.
And wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm like, and I believe Miss Warwick has a beaded necklace on in the photo shoot. Is that one of the beadwork creations?
That is one of the creations. In fact, when you go, I don't know what you have because, you know, I'm mm-hmm. here, you're there. They also make these beautiful beaded elephants, giraffes, zebras, your Christmas ornaments, from your angels to your balls to your bells. You know, we think of quite a bit, because I said to them, you need to make something that will make sense for someone who's buying it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jewelry is one of those things. And I know that hats are quite big in America for different events. And of course, you know, for the Lion King, through Broadway Cares, we do what people see on stage, which is mainly the animals. But I know now that there are people who just collect. They like, maybe one is collecting elephants. And they run into these beaded elephants and they say, oh, my goodness, I have everything but this. So it's a combination of all those things that we are making, so that when we have the product, we have it because we know there's someone who's going to buy it.
Okay. Now, some of the collaborators are Dionne Warwick, who has been instrumental in the battle against HIV and AIDS since the 1980s when she was the former U.S. Health Ambassador during the Reagan administration. And Sandy Bass, who's an international model and philanthropist, who is credited as the first African-American muse for the legendary Valentino and Givenchy. And she also appeared on America's Next Top Model as a judge. How did it feel to have these people coming together to aid you and assist you with your campaign?
That is where the magic touch of Camille Evans came in. Because we were communicating via our emails back and forth or Skype each other, and every time she comes, we talk on the phone, she's like, you have no idea, I just met with this person, the photo shoot is going to be like this, and I was like, oh God, I wish I could be there, you know, but she is an amazing drive, you know, mm-hmm. She feeds me the same energy that she has, because to get all these individuals under one roof for me was an impossible thing to do, but she did pull it off. And it's not just pulling them to take the pictures, it is the commitment that they are making towards helping us to take this to the next level. But that's what I'm saying. I give all the credit to Camille, because she definitely worked very, very hard to pull it all together.
Now, I understand that there was some kind of a weather catastrophe, and the beaters, they need additional assistance. What is it that they need at this time that is of importance?
In fact, now I can use Sandy as an example. The situation was exactly as what New Yorkers just experienced a few weeks ago. We had the biggest storm. This was 2 years ago, and because I live in the city, and I get a phone call in the middle of the night, and they say the roof has been ripped off. And I woke up immediately, and I said, "When you say," he said, "there is no roofing in the whole center, from the side where the women do the work to the side where we have our daycare." And now I'm thinking, oh, my God, it is raining. It is pouring. Everything is getting soaked. I got in the car. It's an hour and a half drive. Got there. All I had to do was just stand and look. That's all I could do. I said, okay, I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to cry. I just have to think of a way to make this work, to bring this back to life. Of course, I spoke to the one of the schools, neighboring schools, and I said if they could take my little ones and put them in the library, because we don't have anywhere to put them. We feed these young people. It's a meal of the day for them. And everything was soaked. I mean, there were no stoves. We had guests, and there was just nothing. But luckily, the principal knew about the whole thing that I'm doing with the ladies. So they did accommodate us and continue to do that. Then I said to Camille, you know, now what I really, really want to do now that I'm teaming up with you and we're doing this together is to fundraise. We are going to do it via selling the product, via our website. And I want to have a microphone in my hand. I want to go back to singing. I want to lend my voice. I want to sing for the audiences that are coming in to help us raise the funds to build the center, because the center has got to go up. Now, you might ask yourself, what is the government of South Africa doing about this? Yes, we have invited them. Yes, they did come. Yes, they took pictures 2 years ago. And we never heard anything after that. And for me, that was the most distressful thing that I had to go through. You don't even know who to talk to. And I said, okay, we are on our own. But I'm not going to get upset about it, because it takes away from the creativity one has. I'm just going to find a way, one way or the other, to raise the funds to rebuild the center. And that is where we are now.
Okay. Now, how can... my listeners, how can they assist you in your fundraising efforts?
If I can, on the 20th, that is a Thursday, I will be at Madiba Restaurant, which is on 195 DeKalb Avenue. I'll be doing my first of the series of concerts that I'm going to be doing. And they can go, I don't know whether I should give you my website now or later. They can also go to the website and see the merchandise, the ornaments that we have. And if they want to purchase, I think it has been set up now for someone to purchase. But I will double check that with Camille. But I think it is.
Okay.
But I'm here to do a series of concerts. When I was talking to Camille, I said, you know, I even if I do it in somebody else's living room, I'm fine. You know, if they say, Tuli, we have the three clients that can put in this amount of money, can you come and sing? I will be there with my microphone as long as we have the sound system.
Okay.
Because I just said, you know, I cannot sit back and keep pointing fingers at the dysfunctional government. I cannot do that. And I'm not here to bash the government. I'm just here to say, what can I do to make this a thriving center that it used to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God one is blessed with a voice to sing. And I said, okay, I'm going to start with the things that I know. Give me the microphone. Give me a venue. I'll be there to sing and raise money.
Okay. Now, I understand that you started out with a group of 45 women over
yes.
time, and you don't have that group of 45, the same 45 anymore, because some of them have succumbed to their illness, as well as some
yes.
of them who are really sick.
Yes.
And how does that, I mean, when that happens, do you get more beaters, or how does that work out?
You know, life in the rural is so different, even for us who are born in Africa. If you're born and live in the city, that's what you know. When the first woman passed away, because as soon as I got there, I could identify the ones that were that were really sick. But I didn't say much, you know. All I had to do was to make sure that I have a doctor, like I said, who was going to come and do the blood test and all that. And when the first one passed away, it was in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. I then said, okay, I don't want to rush into hiring someone while they are still mourning the death of one of their colleagues. And the idea popped in my head, and I said, you know what? Let me do it this way. Rather than hire and fire people, I'm going to leave it with the ladies. They know each other. You know, they know who they get along with. They know who could be a bad apple and all that stuff. So I left it with them. My project manager is the one that will bring the lady in, and it's done in a very social way. You know, everybody has to agree. They bring him in, bring her in, and then they will show the work that they have done. And then if they're happy with the because they are proud of what they do, you cannot see one legal thread hanging anyway. If she's good at what she says she can do and her spirit is right, then she is incorporated in the group. But from 45 that I had back then, it went down to 25. And out of the 25, three had TB. As we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with the doctor being there and the medication. And now the challenge is because they don't have running water. Now you have to have bottled water. So what he does, the doctor, is to bring the water from the city for them to drink clean water with their medication. Yeah, the complications are unbelievable. You can have your medication, but if you don't have clean water, you're still drinking river water, which is muddy.
Mm-hmm.
To drink to take your medication. So, but all of that, because these are the things I had to think through, come up with, and find a way to say, okay, we've identified this, but what is the resolution to it? And thank God this man is very dedicated to what he does, and he's always there every month to take care of the women.
That is amazing, and it seems as if the blessings keep coming to you so that you can continue with this campaign and this cause. And I know that you said that the website is available and up, but how can people, who can they contact to learn more, to donate, or to find out how they can help? Who's the best person for them to get in contact with?
The best person is Camille.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Oops. And what I'll do is on my website, I'll put up the information on how to get in contact with her once I speak with her, so she'll give me the proper information for
okay.
that.
Yes.
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 And, I mean, it's, you know, it's just amazing that you're doing this, and however way that I can be of assistance, please feel free to let me know.
Oh, wow. Thank you so very much. Thank
you're quite you. Welcome. I mean, because it's not just about women in South Africa. It's just about women coming together
women.
And, yeah,
yes.
in general. Indeed,
yes.
Definitely. Well, I just want to thank you so, so very much for taking the time to join us, to tell us your story, to tell us all the good work that you're doing, and just to say, you know, it's time that we all start really looking closely and deep within, because it's a new day. It really is. We have to find ways to help others, because it's obvious, it's clear that there are so many people out there who need assistance. So
yes.
many.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's not like we're asking people to go out and change the world, but if we can just help one.
One at a time, yes.
Yes. If we can help one, that would be.
In fact, I had that feeling because I was so overwhelmed with what I had started. And I said, gosh, if I had known, I would not have gone so deep into it. But then the more I thought about it, I said, well, I feel good about doing it. You know, I feel good about knowing that this woman went to bed with some food in her stomach for her children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge is of making sure that you keep them happy and you keep them hoping, you know, and that is why they chose Tembele to, hoping that the next day is going to be better than today. That, for me, that was, oh, wow, okay, I need to do more. I just need to continue to do more. But I told them this. I said, my belief is you cannot sit on the sidewalk and have a cap in hand. You need to create what you know, and I will do everything I can for someone to look at it and say, I love it enough to open my wallet and buy it. And it's the only way we can survive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot be talking about poverty all the time. Let's talk about the talent that God has given us and use it so that it can create wealth for ourselves. And that is how I've sort of communicated with them. And I'm happy that they have embraced that concept and love it enough to say, we will always be here as long as someone is out there to buy from us.
That is amazing. That is excellent. And I, you know, we need to, on this end, to have that mindset as well, because
mm-hmm.
we have talented people here who are wasting mm-hmm. away.
Yeah.
I believe that things are changing and people are beginning to become aware and they're waking up.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's beautiful to see, but we have to keep the momentum going, and we have to keep them, yes, we have to keep them moving forward, and we have to keep hearing stories like this so that we know that we have to continue, we can't stop.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
And I would like to take the opportunity to thank Camille Evans for this wonderful opportunity, and I would like to, if you would like to come back at any time to let us know anything, to you know, help you in any way, please feel free. The microphone is open for you at any time.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Oh, what an offer. Oh, my God. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, and I would also like to thank my listeners, because I know they're out there and they're just dedicated, and I know if there's some out there that can help you, I know that they will reach out and help.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and I'd like to thank them for their continued support. However, I have a special song that I want to play for my listeners as we end the show, and it really gives you something to think about. I've always said that if there's anybody that has a song for every occasion, it's Michael Jackson.
Mm.
Yes. So I'm going to play this song. I want all of my listeners and everyone to be well, and I want to play this song for you guys to think about, just to think long and hard. Thank you.
Okay.
Show for today. Everyone, be well. Be well. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.